Thank you so much for that reading of the scripture. And once again, happy Mother's Day, and thank you for joining us. We're asking ourselves an important question this morning. How do we thrive against passionless apathy? And this morning, I want to share with you five things that when we look at Philippians 1 and the life and heart of Apostle Paul, these five things flow out. Passion has life-changing power. Secondly, apathy prevails today. Thirdly, true passion begins with God. Fourthly, Jesus connects us to God's passion. And fifthly, and finally, the gospel, Jesus reorders our passions. Paul was abandoned. He was alone. He was deserted. He was imprisoned. And he was facing a possible execution for his faith in the latter years of his life. And the church that he planted in Philippi was going through some desperate struggles of their own. If there's anyone that could be apathetic, it would be Paul. He was living in desperate times, yet he knew how to thrive through it. I think all of us during this COVID-19 period of time, with all the challenges that we are going through, as incredibly difficult as it is, have probably wrestled with feelings of passionless apathy. But what is it, especially about Paul, who in the midst of going through so much in his life, was able to exhibit a kind of life-giving passion that allowed him to thrive through the most desperate of times? And so, this is what we want to think about this morning. I want to begin by looking at our first point, that passion has life-changing power. Passion has life-changing power. When we see examples, and I'm not just talking about faith, but passion in life in general, it has power to change and impact. As a young student visiting the city of Toronto, I heard Yo-Yo Ma play his cello in a way that moved my soul and that fueled a love for classical music at a young age. Who of us, I've never visited Italy, one day Kathy and I would love to do that, but who of us could visit the Sistine Chapel and see Michelangelo's painting painted between 1508 and 1512, seeing the scene of the Last Judgment and scenes from the book of Genesis and not be moved by that masterpiece? Passion has life-changing power. Though our family has settled into a New England life here in Connecticut, and we love our new home, my stomach still longs for Chicago, because Chicago has passion for its food, and two of the holy grail of foods that Chicago is known for is the Chicago hot dog and deep dish pizza. And they are passionate about it. Remember, no ketchup ever on a Chicago hot dog. That's sacrilege. But I look at those pictures, I start to salivate, and it does something to my soul as I think about Chicago's passion for two of its holy grail of food, the Chicago dog and deep dish pizza. National Geographic did a mesmerizing, riveting documentary of a young man named Alex Honnold in the documentary Free Solo. For those of us that were brave enough to watch it, you see his journey to climb the face of El Capitan, 3,200 feet above sea level in Yosemite National Park, without the safety of a safety rope or harness, freestyle climbing. And as you watch him journey, and he did make it to the top, unaided, no ropes, no safety devices, it is unbelievable. And for a guy who's scared to climb up a ladder to clean out the gutters, I am afraid of heights. But to see and hear his passion for climbing come out, I tried to find something that I could climb at least a couple steps after watching it, because it was so moving. Dance Monkey. If you have not heard this song, it is worth checking out by Tones. It helped when I watched a New York Times video expose on her sharing her story about busking on the streets of Australia, which means basically singing for tips. This silly little song broke singles charts in 30 countries. And as of this past Friday, had 971 million views on YouTube. Even though it seems like a silly song, she's sharing her life story and struggle of trying to break out in fame and success through her singing, through her dancing. Dance Monkey. It's worth checking out at least once and add to the views. You see her passion come out. It is moving. And a lot of my friends who are watching The Last Dance, this sports documentary, this miniseries on the career of the great Michael Jordan, especially following the 97-98 Chicago Bulls season, that man exhibits passion when he plays. And when he played basketball, passion is moving, whether it's in the arts or music or food or sports or in a challenge of climbing a mountain without ropes. People are gripped, mesmerized, impacted when people are passionate about something. Passion has power to help one thrive through the most desperate of times. Paul was in incredibly difficult circumstances, and yet he was able to thrive in the midst of his imprisonment, abandonment, discouragement. He was still able to thrive. Secondly, our challenge is that apathy is prevalent today. We live in the most technologically sophisticated culture and world and time the world has ever seen. Unlimited choices and opportunities here in America, one of the wealthiest, powerful countries on earth. And yet we do live in a time of passionless apathy. Cameron Rhoda wrote an article entitled it, "Apathy in America is a Growing Plague." This doesn't mean that we aren't busy. It doesn't mean that we aren't living productive lives. But so many of us are not excited with the way in which we have been created and designed by God at a soul level of our being, of being filled with passion. Rather, we are marked by a passionless apathy. And if we're very honest with ourselves, we live often day to day trying to find our next high, trying to find something to numb the pain of our apathy. Apathy is not just a generational thing. Often we look at the younger generation, whether you consider Gen X, the younger generation, if you consider the millennials or Gen Z, we often think of the younger as the apathetic generation. But I believe that whether you are older or younger, both can struggle with this. I came across a couple years, a challenging book of which I would like to quote by Ravi Zacharias, a man who has influenced me greatly. He is at the end stages of fighting incurable cancer. Please pray for him. And he wrote, "The older that you get, the more it takes to fill your heart with wonder, and only God is big enough to do that." The older that you get, the more it takes to fill your heart with wonder, and only God is big enough to do that. How much more so today in the challenges that we have in this pandemic of COVID-19. But in some ways, perhaps it's a blessing in disguise. In the normally crazy, busy, frenetic pace that we live in has been largely stripped away. And with a lot more time on our hands, all of us, for the most part, probably being much more at home, we're beginning to realize that often our busyness masks the passionless apathy of our hearts and lives. Is anyone out there struggling with being zoomed out and Zoom fatigue? I spent almost 6 hours on Thursday on Zoom calls. My eyes were just bugging out. I had a brain freeze and an emotional shutdown by late night Thursday after almost 6 hours. I was zoomed out. We are in a very challenging time in the shutdown, in this pandemic. And I think especially as we begin to experience the challenges of this passionless apathy, it's something that we need to think about, and it's critically important that we understand how to address it, especially biblically as people of God, in order to thrive during these desperate times. Thirdly, I want us to think about this bridge connecting us now to the scriptures regarding passion. True passion, thirdly, begins with God. True passion begins with God. God, the God of the Bible, is a passionate God. He is a God of passion. And that often goes against our fixed ideas and our culture and our experiences. When we think about God, we often think boring, religion, duty. If I want to experience the zest and passion for life, the last thing I want to do, if I'm really honest, is think about church, Bible, and God. But that's where we make a huge mistake. If you think that God is passionless, that he is boring, if you're discovering that he is the last person that you want to turn to fight this growing apathy within your heart, you don't know the God of the Bible. Psalm 19:1 says this, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands." Our passion that helps us thrive through the most desperate of times begins with him. I thought about this week in trying to fight my own apathy and going back to the God of the Bible and looking at our world and seeing that God has his imprints all over creation, all over our world, that he is a God of life-changing passion. Take a look at what we experienced this past week in a surprise snowstorm, although it didn't accumulate too much. Wilson Bentley, at the age of 15, got a microscope and by age 20 began to take pictures in 1885 of snowflakes. And these are some of his actual pictures. And over the next 50 years, he would take 5,000 photographs of snowflakes. He called them masterpieces of design, tiny miracles of beauty, snow crystals that look like flowers of ice. Beautiful. Our God created it all in its beauty. How many of us, if we were able to safely travel, would love a weekend at the beach? That looks pretty good to me, knowing that we just had snow this weekend. But imagine scooping up some of the sand in your hands and then magnifying it hundreds of times. What would you get? You would get something like this. Of course, sand looks different in different parts of the world. But look at the beauty. Who is this God that has his passion imprinted in every aspect of our created world? Think about, as we zoom out, the Milky Way. 100 to 400 billion stars in our galaxy alone. And they estimate up to 500 billion galaxies in our universe. Multiply that by the number of stars, and we're talking about 10 billion billion stars. If you could scoop up all the sand, every grain of sand in our world, there would still be 5 to 10 times many stars in the universe than the number of grains of sand in our world. We look at a few examples of these things and we shout out with the psalmist in Psalm 8, Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings, that you care for them. God is a God of passion. Jonathan Edwards, pastor and theologian, compared it to like this, and then I want us to briefly take time to worship God before I finish my last 2 points. The enjoyment of God is the only happiness with which our souls can be satisfied. Fathers, mothers, husbands, wives, or children, or the company of earthly friends are but shadows, but God is the substance. These are but scattered beams, but God is the sun. These are but streams, but God is the ocean. Why don't we take a moment before I continue my message to think about that and lift up our hearts and praise to this God who is passionate to be worshiped and praised.
The only thing I want in life is to be known for loving Christ, build his church, to love his bride, and make his name known far and wide. For this cause I live, for this cause I die, I surrender all for the cause of Christ. Questions rise. In Jesus, now my home abides. For this cause I live, and for this cause I die. Stature in my brother's eye. I pray it said about my life that I lived more to build your name than mine.
Thank you, Jamie, for that. We have been talking about how do you thrive in a time, in a space where we find ourselves in the midst of this pandemic struggling with passionless apathy. And we have talked about how passion has life-changing power, how apathy indeed is something that all of us are wrestling with, especially during the stay-at-home time. And we realize that God is not a boring God, but true passion begins with him. And as we look at the world around us, we see his creation. We see the grains of sand, the snowflakes, the immensity of the world and universe in which we live, the beauty all around. We realize that God is not boring. He is a passionate God. And so the question is, how do we tap into this God of passion? Pastor, if you're saying that, how do we experience him? How do we learn it? Do we take a class? Do we sit under a tree and meditate until we are struck with lightning or we reach some kind of state of enlightenment? How do we experience this? And it's very simple. Jesus, fourthly, connects us to God's passion. Listen to Jesus' prayer, one of his final prayers called the High Priestly Prayer from John 17. And this is eternal life, that they know you and the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. Jesus lived for his Father's passion and glory. And his prayer was for all of us to experience and share in this passion and in this glory and in this power. Passion is released to us through a person, and that person is Jesus. Paul encountered this Jesus, one who is guilty of killing the saints of grievous sin and darkness in his life, and yet he was forgiven. He was given a second chance and commissioned to serve him. And Paul, Acts 20 says this, but I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course in the ministry that I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Passion that transforms and helps you thrive in the midst of challenging, desperate times is not found in your hobbies, as wonderful as they are, in the food you enjoy, in the endeavors we enjoy, the creation that God has given, those are all great things, but ultimately it goes back to a person, the person of Jesus, in whom the fullness of God dwells, Colossians 1. Jesus connects us to the passion of God. And I think as simple and fundamental as that sounds as a biblical truth, we need to be reminded of that over and over again. Thinking about these things, fifthly and finally, the gospel reorders our passions. Pastor, okay, I agree with you. It makes sense. But is it wrong? Is it sinful that I have these passions I enjoy about life? I like to cook. I like to run. I go for hikes. I love a lot of things. Is that wrong? Do I need to give up those things and hate them in order to follow Christ? Absolutely not. Paul was a man of many passions and gifts. He was a scholar. He had a deep love and care for truth. He was between two cultures, a Hebrew and a Roman citizen. He was able to hang out with the poor and destitute. He could easily connect with the intellectuals of his time. But when he was pursued by Christ and met that person, his heart was transformed. And now Christ has become his singular passion by which all the other many passions of his life now coalesce to find meaning and significance and purpose. Jesus takes all the many passions and loves that are good things and unites them under one great common passion that is Jesus himself. That is critically important for us to understand. Pastor Tim Keller reminds us that money, career, love for a period of time may make you feel you have something to live for, but if you actually get the thing that you've been seeking, you suddenly realize it is not big enough for your soul. It doesn't produce its own light. That's why during this time where we are facing such a challenging time of dealing with this passionless apathy, it goes back to the one who connects us to the most passionate being in the universe. Jesus connects us to our Father, who indeed is the most passionate being in this universe. A couple years back, I heard a powerful challenge and illustration about Copernicus, who was combating a fixed idea for centuries and centuries that the Earth was the center of our galaxy and universe and everything else revolved around it. But this Copernican revolution was this massive shift to see not that the Earth was the center, but rather it was the sun and all the other planets revolved around it. And that spoke to me. When he is your singular passion, when he is, then your many passions will be centered upon him when you see his passion who lived for you and died for you and loves you. That is how transformation happens. And that is the source by which true life-sustaining, life-giving, life-transforming passion will continue to allow us to thrive in the most desperate of times. When the person of Jesus becomes your singular passion, all the other many passions of your life can be enjoyed even more because they will not swallow you up. They will not turn into idols. They will not trap your heart in addictions. Jesus indeed can set us free when we realize that he is the center and the passion of our lives. And so, When a person becomes gripped by that and by him, we know that it changes everything. And that's why we can enjoy and we have freedom to share the many passions God has given to us to serve him and his kingdom. I love what Bob Reiner says regarding this. When a person is captured by the passion of Jesus Christ, there should be no less support or attention for an earnest Christian young person who has been accepted to the Juilliard School of Music than for one going off to seminary or to the mission field. The church needs writers. The church needs performers, artists, speakers, politicians, business people, and scholars. In God's eyes, there is no hierarchy. Hallelujah. Amen. We live in a time and culture where life-giving passion is hard to discover and find. And this morning, as we close, I want to ask you, as you look at your own life, as others look at you, when your spouse looks at your life, what will they say you are passionate about? What exudes out of your life that is so transforming and life-giving that it impacts those around you? What are you living for? And the gospel tells us that true passion is about a person. I pray that in the midst of the challenges we are going through, and probably a lot of us facing passionless apathy, we would be reminded of the simple message of the gospel that returns us and connects us to the one who indeed is the most passionate being in all the universe. Connect to him through Jesus, and you will find a transforming life power that would indeed help you to thrive even in the midst of the most desperate times. Three questions and I'm done. What are you passionate about? If you like deep dish pizza like myself, share that with the person you are watching next to. Share it with your children. Tell your mom or dad. But secondly, why does Paul get so passionate about Jesus from the passage that we just read? What is it about this Jesus that allows him to have such a passion that often we ourselves find missing in our own lives? And thirdly and finally, how does Jesus become our one true passion in life? I pray that as we find ourselves in challenging times, feeling a passionless apathy in the midst of the many, many passions that we gravitate to, don't neglect the one who indeed can fuel your life in such a way that he can transform your heart and life continually in a kind of life-giving passion that will help you thrive through the most desperate of times. Let's pray together.